Romans chapter number 4. Let me see if I can get some stuff. I've been studying today. I don't reckon we went over the physical cliff, did we? Anybody, can we tell the difference? We did or we didn't? I don't know, man. We didn't or we did? Is that right? Philippians chapter number 3. Philippians chapter number 3. Well, praise the Lord anyway. I tell you, there ain't but one thing steady and sure, and that's Jesus Christ. Everything else will fall out from under you one of these days. Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 10. Let's look at some of the greatest scripture in the New Testament, and I'm going to talk about forward for Jesus in 2013. Going forward. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Look at this. Forgetting those things which are behind. Can you do that, Christian? Are you able to do that? Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. That verse is saying, especially verse number 13, he's saying, you know what I'm going to do? He said, I'm going to forget what's behind me. And he said, I'm going to press forward into the future. That's some good advice. That's some good advice. You can't do one thing about last year. Give me up on this just a little bit, Brother Mike, and down on that one. So the first thing I want to say this evening is we ought to forget the past. Let's forget the past. Verse 14. Our past sins, our past failures, our past disappointments. Every one of us were disappointed about something last year. I was, you was. You know what? That's just part of life. We have to just say, I'm going to forget it. Every one of us failed in some way majorly the Lord. Now, I'm not talking about you got out and, you know, robbed a bank or shot somebody or you run off and done something wicked. I'm not talking about that. We all failed the Lord in 2012. You know, I'm not supposed to just sit here and say, you know, I failed so much in 2012. I just can't. I'm supposed to forget that and reach forward to what the Lord has for me. That's hard to do. It really is, because you get gun shy. You get hit and you get hit and you get hurt and you get gun shy. A lot of people are scared to witness because you get something blows up in your face. You get gun shy. You do. I do. You get your feelings hurt. You get disappointed. And the Bible said we're supposed to forget that was his past. Now, one of the wisest old sayings I've ever heard came from my pastor, and I'll pass it on to you, and you remember this. A lot of people, yet the failures of yesterday and the fears of tomorrow rob them of the joy of serving God today. One more time. Many people let the failures of yesterday, and we've had them, and the fears of tomorrow, and we've got them, rob them of the joy of serving God today. Listen. If some people had been in my shoes tonight, they wouldn't even come to church tonight. You wouldn't believe what I've had to deal with just this evening. And the devil throwed everything but the kitchen sink at me this evening. I mean, just crazy phone calls and everything. I thought, oh my Lord, I just want, oh good night. It's crazy. But you know what? I know where that's coming from. It comes from Satan. And all that is him trying to stop me. He's trying to stop you. He tried to stop the Apostle Paul, and old Paul said, I'm forgetting those things which are behind. No matter what a man's past is, his future is spotless. Say that again. No matter what your past is, your future is spotless. Amen? Forget about the time of fleshly slavery. You were enslaved to the flesh.
Maybe you went through a lot of times this past year when the flesh just had you whipped. I mean, you were a slave to your flesh. I guess we all have and were at one thing or in one matter or another, just a slave to the flesh. You husbands and wives here tonight, I mentioned it Monday night when I was preaching. I do a lot of marriage counseling, a lot, and not just people in our church. People call me from lots of places. And I do a lot of marriage counseling because I've had people tell me, they say, well, Brother Danny, I can call you because I know you've been through a lot, and I can call you because I know I can trust you not to go tell everybody. And I said, okay, tell me. And I said, I won't tell nobody. Whatever between us and the Lord, between us and the Lord. And they start telling me their problems. And you know what I've told them over and over and over and over and over? Just forget what's behind and make the best out of your future. You can't keep a list and say, well, you done this. Oh, you done that. I'm saving all this. I had one tell that one time to her husband. She said, I'm remembering all this. Building her case, you know. So that when it finally blowed up, she could say, you done this, and you done this, and you done this, and you done this. You got to forget those things which are behind. Even with your kids. When you discipline your kids over something, just forget it. Put it behind you. You can't keep holding a grudge. You can't keep holding a grudge toward each other in church. And I'll talk more about that in a minute. But just forget what's behind. Forget the mistakes we've made. And let's try harder. Now, the Lord was good to us in 2012, people. But we had some failures. We did. We lost some battles. We lost some people, good church members. We've gained a lot. We've gained more than we've lost, thank God. But it still always hurts when people get knocked out of church. Man, it hurts the church. It hurts me. It hurts the Lord. It hurts our testimony. It hurts the Bible, the truth. It hurts everything when people get knocked out and go back out and sin. It hurts. But we're an army. We're an army. And it's like a devil goes, and people get shot. And sometimes when they get shot, they fall out. Sometimes they get better and hang in there. They go to the spiritual doctor and get right. So, but we got to do this. We got to say, hey, you know what? I messed up in 2012. I made some mistakes. But by the grace of God, we can start all over again. New year. It's youth rally. You wouldn't believe I've already got 2 pages of stuff wrote out for the youth rally right now in my bedroom at home. We want to do this. We want to do that. We want to do this. We want to do that. We want to get in there, get that place decorated, have everything ready. Lord, we've made a lot of mistakes in the past, but we can do better this year. We can do better. Forget the past. Number two, forget the past. Number two, forgive and pardon. Forgive and pardon. Let me say this, because you know what I'm going to say about forgiving each other and all that. Let me say something else first. You know what you got to learn how to do? You got to learn to forgive yourself. Sometimes it's harder to forgive yourself than it is for God to forgive you. If you've asked God to forgive you of something and you mean it, you're forgiven. But it's hard to forgive yourself. A man told me the other day, a real spiritual man. He said, made a lot of sense. He said, if Damien comes to me and says, boy, I've done something awful, Brother Danny. Oh, it's awful. I want you to forgive me and I want the Lord to forgive me. I don't have a bit of trouble forgiving him for that. But I do something and I keep beating myself up and beating myself up and beating. You got to let yourself have that same forgiveness you give everybody else. I don't mean take sin lightly or let yourself off the hook. But I mean, you can't beat yourself to death over something that's done and you've repented over. You know the old saying, crying over spilt milk. You can't do it. I guess what we need to do, you got to toughen up a little bit, people. This life is tough. It's not for the squeamish. You can't keep beating yourself to death over something that you've repented over. And you can't keep letting yourself feel guilty or let the devil heap guilt on. Every time you start to do something, the devil say, you can't do that. God's not happy with you. You're not as good as everybody else. The devil will do that to you just as long as you let him. And I do. I'm the world's worst for that. I go around with a guilty conscience all the time. I got it from my mama. But I have to teach myself, Danny, if the Lord's forgive you, then forget it. Matter of fact, it's an insult to keep bringing something up that God's forgive you for. Amen? Man said one time, I've asked God 1,000 times to forgive me. You don't need to ask Him 1,000 times to forgive you. You need to ask Him one time and mean it, and then thank Him 1,000 times. It's hard to forgive yourself. I feel like there's somebody in here tonight, on this new year, you ought to make up your mind to forgive yourself. You say, well, I feel guilty, Brother Danny, because I don't deserve it. And that's right. You don't, I don't, none of us do. According to that book, when the Lord forgives you, He cleanses you from all unrighteousness, and it's gone, it's off your record. Now quit whining and go do something for God. I know people say, well, I can't go on bus route. My life's not good enough. Is there anybody in here whose life is good enough? No. No. Is there anybody in here who says, I'm living good enough for God to yield, Lord, have mercy? No, there's not. If you wait till you're good enough, you'll never do nothing for the Lord. Amen. You better learn how to forgive yourself. And then you better learn how to forgive others. You've got to. You've got to. Whoever it was, whatever they did, you have got to learn to forgive others. Somebody said, live today to the fullest. Remember, it's the first day of the rest of your life. I'll say that again. Live today to the fullest. Remember, it's the first day of the rest of your life. Today is the first day of the rest of our lives. I don't care if you got $10 million, you can't buy back yesterday. You can't change one thing you did. You can't. It's done. Gone. I talked to a girl, I forgot where it was, yesterday, day before, store somewhere, and I said, might have been, I can't remember where it was. I said, did you go to church yesterday? She said, no, I didn't. I said, it's on your record. And she looked at me like, what? I said, that's on your record. You know, you God's keeping a record up there, and that's on it. You didn't go. Well, she looked at me like, that's awful. Yeah, it sure is. It sure is awful. And I was trying to provoke her to go to church this Sunday. But no matter what's on your record, you can't change it, but you can do better this time. You can do better this time. Number three, I said number one, forget the past. Number two, forgive and pardon. Number three, have faith in the promises. Have faith in the promises. Boy, we need to put our faith in the promises of God. The great promises of heaven. The great promises of God's presence. The great promises of God's provision. The great promises of guaranteed promises of God. Listen, if you're not careful, you'll let this world shake your faith in these promises. Especially if you watch a lot of TV. If you watch a lot of TV, their philosophy starts working on you. You start thinking, well, you know, how many will admit it tonight? You've watched them documentaries and all of a sudden you think, well, you know, that does sort of sound right, but it's against the Bible. Buddy, I'm telling you, they're slick. That devil's slick. He knows what to put on that TV. He ain't gonna put no TV program in there that confirms God's Word. They'll put a documentary on the History Channel about Satan, and it'll show you a bunch of old scary pictures they drew back in the Dark Ages when the Catholic Church was in charge to make you think anybody that believed in Satan was this wild, crazy person and demons and fire and everything. It'll make you think, oh, anybody's crazy that believes that. But that ain't the way it is, and that ain't the way it was. There is a real hell. There is a real devil. And it ain't like them old Catholic pictures they put on in them caves and in monasteries. It's real, with real fire. And it'll say, some people believe there is, some people believe there isn't, and it'll leave you at the end of it thinking, ah, that's crazy. That's the point of it. That's the gist of it. The gist of it is, it's ridiculous to believe like that. And you've got to be careful of stuff like that. We need to have faith in the promises of God. You know, there's been people lived and died by these promises, people. Lived and died by the promises in this book. They've lived and died. Our old grandmas and our fathers and them old preachers, they lived by that book and they died by that book right there. And our saying is, if it was good for our father, it's good enough for me. You tell me something better to live. Can anybody in here tell me anything better to die by than what's in that book? No, sir, you can't. There ain't nothing. You say, well, I'm going to change my diet and eat healthy this year. That's great. Everybody ought to do that. But it ain't going to help you when you're dying. I saw on the news, I was seeing if we went over the cliff, and it had the The five top New Year's resolution. Number one. Can anybody tell me what it was? You're right. Lose weight. That's America for you, brother. That shows we got a lot of problems. In other countries, they're praying for freedom. They're begging God to have mercy on. Our biggest worry in America is, help me quit eating so much. That's our biggest worry. What a bunch of brats. We can't have revival with a bunch of people like that. It's impossible. That's why the old preacher said, America ain't going to have no revival. We got too much. Our biggest worry is losing weight. I can tell you that. I got a new plan. Save you money. Won't cost you a dime. Matter of fact, it'll save you money. Don't eat. You say, well, I want to eat and lose weight. Well, I'm sorry. You can't. That's like saying I want to go to heaven and hell. You're going to one or the other. You can't do them both. We want to live for hell and go to heaven. That's what we want in America. We want to live for the devil and want God to bless us. We want to be lazy but fit. We don't want to work but want to be rich. That'll preach. Come on, brother. Amen. Listen, have faith in the promises of God. The grand prize, heaven, is waiting. It's waiting. So have faith in the promises of God. Anybody want to say anything right there before I move on? All right, the next thing I want to say is follow the precepts of the Bible. You notice my outline? Forget the past, forgive and pardon, faith in the promises, and follow the precepts. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 2 just a second and look at a verse of Scripture here. A little verse of Scripture here. 1 Peter chapter number 2. And here in chapter number 2, look at verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies, we're in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, and all envies and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. We are supposed to follow the precepts. Now, here, what does that mean? God laid us down some precepts that we're supposed to live by. We're supposed to follow. The path is plainly marked. Like this path right down through here tonight in this church, plainly marked. There's no way you can miss it. But there's a row of pews. There's a row of pews. Path right down through here. That's exactly the way God did it. You know, I've come in here at night before trying to turn the lights on. Boy, I bumped into these things, hit your shin, trying to come down that aisle over there and go out the door. I don't know why we didn't make them put a switch over here. That was a mistake. But anyway, you turn them out back there and then try, God, we can't see. And, you know, I know there's a path, and I go feeling for it like that, you know, feeling them pews down through there, and it's hard to do. But you know something? When these lights are on, that path is plain as a day. And let me tell you, people, there's a plain path marked in that Bible. It's plain. You don't have to be a genius to figure it out. We're not supposed to lie. We're not supposed to cheat. We're not supposed to live for the devil. We're not supposed to get drunk. We're not supposed to commit immorality. We're not. It's plain as day. We need to walk in them precepts. You know what people's problem is? Trying to figure out a way not to walk in them precepts and still be blessed and have a wonderful life. You can't shack up. You can't live in sin. You can't drink alcohol. Get high on drugs. You can't do that and say, okay, Lord, but it's impossible. Can't be done. Can't be done. You can't do it. You got to say, okay, it's a plain path, and I'm going to walk right down that plain path. That don't mean you'll be perfect. That don't mean you may falter somewhat, but you've got to walk in those precepts. Walk. It's simple. It's simple. The truth is, everybody in here tonight knows what's right and wrong. You know what's right and wrong. Everyone's going to say, Brother Danny, do you think it's wrong? You know, listen, people, 99 times out of 100, you know good and well what's right and what's wrong. You don't. People live in other countries, don't even have a Bible. They know it's wrong to kill somebody. They even have penalties for it. They said they found a tribe somewhere in the jungle that there wasn't no penalty on adultery, and there wasn't no penalty on, and that shows right there, without religion, man don't know. That don't show nothing. You know what that shows?
There's 5,000 tribes on this earth. If you find 10 that have no rules, all that does is establish the fact that men have a conscience. Because there's 4,900 of them that will cut your hand off if you steal something. They know. They know right from wrong. You might find a few isolated people here and there, but that's an exception. That's the what's called the inductive method. And that means you pick out an exception to overthrow the rule. Exception don't overthrow the rule. The exception proves the rule. It's like me saying, going into a prison and finding one good, honest, law-abiding man and saying, you can't condemn those prisoners. There's law-abiding men in there. Well, there might be one, and there might be 2,000 of them that cut your throat if you had half a chance. The exception is that one. That don't overthrow the rule, it proves the rule. That's the way this thing of doing right. Just because somebody might not know it or have a conscience does not mean there ain't a rule. The exception proves the rule. So tonight, you need to follow the precepts. I'll hurry. The path is well marked. You know what's right and wrong. And I don't like it a bit more than you do. So it cuts me too. It cuts me too. Man asked one time, said, what's the world? You know, independent Baptist preachers, they're notorious for preaching against the world, the world, the world. And you ought to. You ought to. But they think that they've got it narrowed down to about 5 or 6 things. Immodest dress, drinking, sexual sin, lifestyle, wicked party lifestyle, bless God, you short skirts, whatever. They think that's the world and all that is. But I'm going to tell you what the world is. The definition of the world is anything that cools off your affection for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, back in this day and time, they didn't have TV. They didn't have movies. They didn't have the internet. They didn't have crack cocaine that I know of. They didn't have pills. And Paul said, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. What in the world was the world back then? No movies? They didn't wear miniskirts. What was the world? It's whatever cools you off for Jesus. Translated, it can be your computer. It can be your fishing boat. It can be your hobby. It can be your girlfriend. It can be your boyfriend. It can be sports. It can be some wicked buy. Anything that pulls you out of the will of God can be the world. Amen. Amen. Cell phone, anything. TV, anything. Anything pulls you out of the will of God. Some people ain't been worth a dime since the internet came out. They used to love the Lord and do good for God, and now they live on that internet. Absolutely live on it. And that's not right, and it's a sin, and it's neglecting God, and it's awful. It's awful. Or anything else. Anything. It don't matter what it is. Anything that cools your affection for the Lord Jesus Christ. Anybody want to say anything about that right there? Hey, no doubt about it. Yeah, that's true. No doubt about it. Anybody else? You can make an idol out of anything. Food, recreation, health. I know people, I believe, have made an idol out of exercise. I mean, 4 and 5 hours a day, man. I mean, good night. I mean, I think we ought to. And I do. But not 4 and 5 hours a day. I mean, I don't see how you get anything else done. You can do it out of anything. Shopping. They had some woman on TV. Shopping was her. She spent 60-something thousand dollars shopping last year. And I mean, she wasn't a millionaire. Every dime they made, her and her, she'd go shopping. She said she'd go every week, take her credit card, buy new shoes. She had tons of stuff she'd never even pulled the tags off of. 60-something thousand dollars shopping. Husbands, what would you do if your wife spent? That's like $1,200 a week shopping, what would you do? You wouldn't have no home. They'd repossess it. It's like that one old fella said, that one old guy, they said, they took him in this art exhibit, like at Smithsonian or something, and they said, see this painting right here? That goes back to the 14th century, to Louis XIV. And they said, see this painting over here, that Raphael, that goes back to the 12th. And he said, see this painting over here, this goes back to Jude the 12th. He said, that ain't nothing. My living room suit goes back to Sears on the 19th. That'd be the way you'd be doing it. It'd be coming to get your stuff. Ain't that right? She's a shopaholic, brother. A shopaholic. That's hard for a man to understand. Because we shop just when we go to get something or we need something. I don't understand just walking around saying, what can I buy? You know, like you're on the prowl, brother. Like a lion hunting in the forest or something. Yeah, how many of you ladies ever do that? Just go to the store and say, I just want to buy something. Yeah, see that? They're being honest. Thank you. That's a weird thing, brother. That's a weird thing. Men, we don't, well, I don't. Most men don't think like that. We say, what can we keep from buying? Ain't that right? This ain't tore up. Fix it. It'll last us another year or two. Uh-oh. Lord, moving back there in that section. The girls back there on the back, are they ready to sing tonight? Feliz Navidad. Oh, you are? For real, I'll let you if you want to. Anyway, you better follow the precepts. You better follow the precepts. The truth is, the world's getting worse and worse and worse. Another state just legalized gay marriage this week. Maine, was it? Maryland. And that's the first state south of the Mason-Dixon line in the south. It don't seem like Maryland's in the south, but they say it is, basically. It don't, sure don't seem like it when you listen to them talk. But it's coming on down, people. This world's getting worse and worse and worse and worse. You know what we got to do? Follow these precepts. Follow these precepts. Anybody else want to make a comment on that? And I'll say one more thing and I'm through. One more thing. This is the last thing. I said, forget the past. Forgive and pardon. Faith in the promises. Follow the precepts. The last thing, find your place. Find your place. I meet a lot of people that just says, Brother Danny, I just can't find my place. What do I need to be doing? And I always tell them this. Get in the bus ministry while you're hunting it. Amen. While you're waiting on your place to be revealed from heaven, teach a Sunday school class, read your Bible and pray, in fact, and get involved in church. I tell you what, while you're waiting on finding your place, come on out and clean our buses out on Saturday. We need somebody just volunteer to do that. They're all trashed up. Take a broom, sweep them buses out, and that's to be a good place. You say, well, Lord ain't called me to do that. Well, He sure ain't called you to sit at home and do nothing. Do something. Do something. Come and go. Find your place. Find your place. I believe with all my heart there's people in here that need to be in the bus ministry, go visit on Saturday, get involved in it. Find your place. And I believe that if you'll take care of what God's interested in, God will work on what you're interested in. I believe if you've got something that's a real need in your life, if you'll put sinners first and go out and knock on somebody's door and be a witness, the Lord might work on that situation in your home you need. I believe that. I've seen it happen in my life. I've seen it happen in the lives of others. I know a guy one time, he was going through a divorce, and his wife had left him. Oh, he's all to pieces. He come to my house, he's bawling his eyes out. He was crying, and he just held his head and said, you know the man I'm talking about. And I said, Brother Danny, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? I just don't know what to do. You know, you either go get drunk or you go hunt another woman or you just go crazy. That's what most people do. You're going to turn to something. When you go through something like that, you will turn to something or somebody. You'll either turn to the Lord or you'll turn to the bottle or drugs or somebody else, another person. And you know what I told him? I said, you ever taught Sunday school? He said, no, I don't know how to do nothing like that. And we had some people come to church that was mentally handicapped. Special citizens, we call them. And I told him, I said, I'll tell you what you do. I'll have them here Sunday morning.
You go in there and teach them. And you know what he did? He came Sunday morning. He got in there and started teaching them people. And next thing you know, he was crying and getting blessed. And he turned out to be one of the happiest, most victorious Christians that I knew. Because he got interested in somebody else's needs and problems and forgot about his own. And God worked things out in his life. I'm telling you, I'm giving you some good advice. Find your place. Find your place. You put God first, honor Him, give out tracts, be a witness, and you watch God work in your situation. You say, I just wish God would send me a husband, preacher. Well, get on the bus route. You might find you one out there. No. I don't know if I'd recommend most of them out there, but you never know. Lady come to me one time, she said, I went to this bar and I really need a husband, preacher, and went to a bar and said, well, what do you think you're going to find in a bar? She said, what do you think I'm going to find? I said, I don't totally recommend all them at church, but your chances are higher, surely. Surely the Lord, your chances are higher. I've seen some at church turn out just as bad or worse. Maybe, I know a woman married a guy that's out in sin, and she's backslid and married him out in sin, Miss Opal, you know, from Marion. And then he got right with God and lived a godly life, and they had a happy marriage for 40 years. But find your place. Do something right. Do something for God, and He'll bless you for it. Anybody want to say anything about that right there, about finding your place? If you want to kill time, try working it to death. Somebody said, if God didn't have something for you to do, He'd take you out. He would take you out of this world if He's done with you. You believe that? I do. If God didn't want you to do something, He'd take you on to heaven. He ain't going to just leave you here to breathe air, take up space. He's left you here for a purpose. Now you find out what that purpose is. Maybe a prayer warrior. Maybe financially. I was going to mention this the other night. I think everybody ought to leave the church, and you will. I said it the other night. I do. Leave the church, and you will. I know a man right now, he said, we ain't got nobody to leave our stuff to. I don't know what we're going to do. I said, Lord, don't let the government get it. Give it to the church. They can sell it. They can put a missionary in it. They can use it for God. A teen meeting house. Give it to God. Give something to God. Make your footprint on this earth. Anybody want to say anything right there? Anybody? Come on. We have a comment and I'm done. All right.